Ed Sheeran. Paul McCartney. Live and on record, his music touches millions. Paul McCartney. Flowers in the Dirt. The legacy continues. Available at all Camelot Music locations.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. This is episode 160. My name is Andy Nichols, the other leg, and I am joined today by one of the co-founders of Two Legs, and that's Mr. Tom Hunyadi. Good evening, brother, and happy to tackle episode 160 and talk about an album that is near and dear to our hearts, Flowers in the Dirt. How are you, brother?
I am doing great. Yes, Flowers in the Dirt. All the many formats that that went with the album, you know, same with the singles, and we're going to be talking all about that and just giving our thoughts about the album as well. And yeah, looks like it's going to be another fun one.
Yeah, lots of content here. Initially, you know, we were going to talk about, like, obviously the singles, the 12-inch singles, the 45s, the paraphernalia. Obviously, such a prolific time and a big return to the public eye in many ways for Paul's career with Flowers in the Dirt. And hopefully, we do this episode justice because we know it's Ken Michael's favorite album.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So, yes, it is.
Yeah, and I guess we're just trying to think about, did we tackle Flowers in the Dirt since I've been on? And I don't think we had. So
Ranking the Tracks. Yeah, so we talked about it a good length there. But, you know, in terms of, you know, formats and editions, you know, it's a machine then. I mean, it was just, you know, we talk about now and all the different versions that come out now. Here, it was all the different formats because, you know, you had LPs, you had cassettes, and you had CDs. They were all doing well, you know, at that point in time. I think vinyl sales were still slowly coming down, but it was still, you know, coming down.
But that was like CD and vinyl were both, you know, still equal. You could buy them both at the time there then. Give me where Tom Hunyadi was for Flowers in the Dirt in your fandom of Paul McCartney at that time. What was going on? What were you?
I was waiting
for it. You were excited for it. You were surprised.
Yeah. No, I was definitely excited for it. Remember My Brave Face popping up on MTV. You know, I watched it many times, that video. And that got me excited for the album. I thought, man, this is, I mean, you know, he's flashing back to all the Beatles. You saw those Beatle images in the video. And, you know, how could you not be excited? And plus, it was a really good song to open the album with. So, yeah, I mean, I was very excited about Flowers in the Dirt.
Yeah. So. How could you not be? It was just, I mean, and for me, everybody has like their first McCartney album that they're kind of like, when you became a fan, that was your album. I don't know what album was that for you.
It would have been Flowers in the Dirt.
It would have been. Okay, so same for me. That was the first like new album that I became a young fan, you know, and that was like, wow, this is a brand new record that I was cognizant of at the time to go, okay, don't know anything about it. The videos, My Brave Face, all exciting. I mean, I just remember being like a kid on Christmas looking at it because I got the album for Christmas thinking, what's going to be on? I knew My Brave Face, but that was about it. But it certainly got such an expansive release history in terms of formats and singles and 12-inch singles and foreign releases and special releases. And these are the kind of things that we're going to touch upon today. Almost like a collector's episode, really.
Yeah, absolutely. But first, I'm just going to go over something that was pretty interesting. Tom Brennan, you know, fan, and he's been on the show before too. He's sent me a bit about McCartney's, you know, the top 40 singles in McCartney's history on Billboard. And he was wondering if there was ever a list, a worldwide list, kind of like this. So we're going to just go over this real quick and then just talk about, you know, the order and if there was any surprises here on this list. But it says, you know, Paul McCartney's biggest Billboard Hot 100 hit chart is based on actual performance on the weekly Billboard Hot 100. Through the June 19, 2021 ranking, songs are ranked based on an inverse point system, with weeks at number one earning the greatest value and weeks at number 100 earning the least. Okay, so due to the changes here in charts methodology over the years, eras are weighed to account for different chart turnover rates and over various periods. So coming at number 40, we have Stranglehold, which was went to number one. That was its highest chart position here in the States. That's November 29, 86. Then 39, we got The World Tonight, which went to 64 and May 24, 1997. Which, you know, then at this point in time, 97, the charts really, Paul McCartney, you don't really see, you know, really high in the charts anymore.
Not then.
You know, so it's kind of strange seeing this one, you know, as high as it is. 38. Now we got some of the stuff that he did here in the 2000s with Kanye West with Only One. 37, Tug of War, went to number 53. Then you got All Day, again with Kanye West. 35, London Town, which went to number 39. 34, you got Letting Go, which made it to 39 as well. One of your favorites, Mary Had a Little Lamb, which went to number 28. Arrow Through Me went to 29. Now, you're going to see like this a couple times, and I'm figuring that, too, sales has got to do something, has something to do with this as well, I would assume. So even though Arrow Through Me went to 29 and Girl School went to 33, I'm sure the sales might have been better. I'm not 100% sure, but 30, you've got I've Had Enough at number 25. That was its highest chart position. 29, you got Give Ireland Back to the Irish, went to number 21. Getting Closer is number 20. 27, you got My Brave Face, which we'll be talking about. That went to number 25 in 1989. Again, very... it's so odd. It's a great song like that, only charted at number 25. 26, you got So Bad, that which went to number 23. Then you got number 25, you got Press, which went to number 21. 24, you got Venus and Mars Rock Show, that went to number 12. 23, you got the Maybe I'm Amazed single from 76, that ended up going to number 10. 22, you got High, 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 which went to number 10 as well. 21, you got Hell on Wheels, that went to number 10. and then I think this was the best chart position for the Kanye stuff, and that was 4 or 5 seconds, which went to number 4. But again, different system, where it was more downloads, right? Streaming,
right.
And stuff
was
like
it
that.
Right,
was
more buying a single, especially then.
Right, right. 19, you got Take It Away, which went to number 10. 18, you got Jet, which went to 7. 17, you got Another Day, which was number 5. 16, you got Spies Like Us, which went number 7. 15, which is No More Lonely Nights, I thought that might be a little higher, at number 6. 14, Tonight, you got Good Night Tonight, which was number 5. Number 13, you got Uncle Albert, Admiral Halsey, which was a number 1, and I'm surprised that that was only number 13, but it was a number 1 for only 1 week. Junior's Farm, that was that's number 12, and that went to number 3. And then you got Let 'Em In at number 11, which was also number 3. Number 10 is, now here's the top 10. Now these are his, according to Billboard, this is his best singles chart position. So, or many weeks on the charts, or however you want to look at it. So Live and Let Die is number 10. That went to number 2. Number 9 is With a Little Luck. That was number 1 for 2 weeks. Listen to What the Man Said. That was number one for 1 week. Then you got The Girl Is Mine, which was a number two hit, but again, probably sold very well. Number six, you got Band on the Run, which was number one for 1 week. Then you got Coming Up, Live at Glasgow. That was number one for 3 weeks. Then you got My Love, which was number one for 4 weeks. Top three, so Ebony and Ivory, number one for 7 weeks. Number two, Say Say Say, number one for 6 weeks. Which leaves Silly Love Songs at number one. Wow. It was number one for 5 weeks. Yeah, so.
So out of the top three, two were collaborations.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I thought that was a pretty interesting list. And if anybody knows of a list like this from worldwide charts, please send it my way, twolegspodcast@gmail.com, and we can talk about that as well on a future show. Well,
this list, Tom, is just like the Billboard ranking of his best selling singles, right?
Billboard Hot 100s, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I just thought it was kind of interesting.
Interesting way to look at the numbers, which because some of those chart positions we've known, but to see them in that ranking is interesting.
Right. Right. So to see like Silly Love Songs was number one for 5 weeks, but then Ebony and Ivory was number one for 7 weeks. You know
why? Why would that be?
Yeah. Why was it because of sales?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Why did they rank that one and that one three? Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Right. So yeah, just a kind of interesting list there. And if anybody wants that, I can send it. Your way. So back to Flowers in the Dirt. Now, you got this for Christmas in 89, was it? Or when did you get it?
Well, I think the album came out in June of 89, and by the time my eight-year-old hands got on it, it was Christmas, because, you know, I wasn't buying albums then, and I actually just remember peeling away, because I knew it was an album, and I said, what the hell record is this? Because I didn't recognize it. I'm like, lots of orange and red, and I'm like, this isn't a Beatle album that I want. Like, what the hell am I looking at here? So I remember remember then on Christmas Day going, oh, it's the new Paul McCartney album. So yeah, I got it.
The funny thing is though, like if you look at the cover.
Yeah.
If this would have came out in the 70s, there probably would be no Paul McCartney Flowers in the Dirt on it. You know, like, cause a bunch of his albums, it was just the album cover.
An image. Right. I must say, it's probably one of his more classier album covers, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Love the cover. Love the painting. Yeah.
Yeah. And this is a UK copy for all you people wondering. Another Liverpool acquisition with the, again, labels and index numbers. I'm always fascinated with that Beatle geekdom. PCSD106, but, you know, same as the American, purple with the yellow. For the inserts as well. Again, we talked about this, and I think I talked about this on the second episode of Things We Bought Today. Super thin, super vinyl, super thin. You have an original, Tom, or just repressed?
Not yet. I just got the archive release right now, so I'll be remedying soon, though.
Which obviously is heavyweight, you know, thicker, as most vinyl is now.
180, vinyl, so. Yeah.
You know, not these, man. These things are like light as a feather, and Flowers is no different.
Mm-hmm.
Just a classy package through and through, with the color schemes and the whole. Obviously, this was ecologically minded Paul here with a lot of this stuff going on here.
Right.
The Friends of the Earth was a big push for this time here, obviously, with the insert here included, you know. You know, this is what he was really, these are the things he was pushing. And obviously, if you happen to see him in the 89 tour, a lot of that was covered in the tour book that went along with this. You know, this was actually given away. Believe it or not, a tour book was actually
given away for free. Yes.
You did not have to buy this.
Right.
You did not.
Yeah, have to, you know, buy and this. I was hoping that that would have been my first concert. But parents, you know, I had a strict stepdad at the time, and I was not going to go. And plus, it was a good hour and a half, almost 2 hours away where we lived at the time to the Palace of Auburn Hills. So
there was a chance. There was a chance you could have.
You know what? If it was my dad, yeah. but since I lived with my mom and stepdad, yeah, not a chance in hell. But aunt and uncle, they did go and they brought the tour book over so I could take a look at the tour book. So I got to see the tour book in '89.
Oh, you did? That's awesome.
Yeah.
I haven't looked at this in ages, but it's the last page has such a great quote that is so telling, which is again more honest examples of Paul being super honest than the last 20 or 30 years. Beyond the thumbs up, there's more to it than all that, which I know because I lived it.
Right.
You know, so he's acknowledging that, yeah, he does this, but he knows that that's just like, you know, that's my public image, but that's all I'm going to show you. And he's admitting it here at least. He's admitting it here at least. But just this, the tour book was just, I mean, really one of the best ones.
It is.
Because it goes over Wings. It covers everything here. Pipes of Peace. Talks about John a little bit. Oh, there's a really cool advert for the put of their VHS, I think
that,
too.
Yeah, it goes in a little bit of Press to Play. Yeah. You know, so, I mean, you know. It was a very thorough, very good tour book.
Very thorough. And you learned a lot about the band here, too, as well. There was, they listed their, you know, there was a question, what's your favorite Paul McCartney song? You know, I think Wicks at the time, I think, wrote, did Wicks say Daytime, Nighttime Suffering? Or was it Linda? I forget. But they all list their favorite song. You know, what's their favorite Paul song? Favorite food, favorite this one. Yeah. So, like, it's great. Linda's favorite Paul McCartney song. Daytime, Nighttime Suffering, We Can Work It Out. Hey Jude, Maybe I'm Amazed, My Love. Those are her favorites. Chris Whitten's favorite songs.
Almost kind of like reliving the James Paul McCartney special type thing, you know,
with the biographical
stuff. Right, exactly, yeah.
With the biographical stuff. Oh, Chris, what's your favorite McCartney song? I can't seem to see it at the moment. Oh, well. Hamish and Wicks. Yeah, but it's all here. This very nice, this cool painting here.
Right.
Included in the book. Imagine, I mean, this is, you know, gifts given out for free. Pretty awesome.
And I think the there's a Japanese one that's even bigger than that.
Really?
If I'm not mistaken. Yeah, because I did see another tour book that was like almost double the size of that. So I'm wondering if that was the Japanese one.
Probably. But yeah, I mean, so... What edition did you have of Flowers in the Dirt first? Vinyl, CD, tape?
I had cassette. It's not this one, but I did have a cassette, and I played the hell out of that thing. Every time I was in the car, you know, driving by myself, I put that in, and you know, loved every minute of it. So I didn't, you know, again, back then I still didn't love, you know, I was never a big fan of Motor Love, even back then. And even, you know, but even, How Many People, yeah, I mean, like pretty much like the last three songs I've never really been the biggest fan of. So
that day is done. But
yeah, I mean, it's never been one of my favorites.
Whoa, man. Yeah. I thought you were big onto that one.
Yeah, but then, you know, obviously later on, then we got I did get the CD. I never had a vinyl version until a few years back when I bought that one to frame. Okay,
right.
You know, and then obviously then it was the archiver. Yeah, the archive. So yeah.
So you bought them all to frame them. See, now the cassette. Mm. Here's how wonky the cassette, right? If you look at the cassette, right now, side one of the cassette. And the last song on side one has Uwe Soleil on it.
Side one.
So if you're listening to it on cassette, you're like, wait a minute. But you're listening to, first of all, it's not on the album edition, the regular standard album. It's not on that.
Correct.
So if you're listening to the cassette, you're going, well, here's a track in the middle of the album that's weird.
Right.
Not knowing that it's a bonus track and why they wouldn't just tack it on to the end of side two on the cassette. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
Yeah. But then when you got the CD, you also, that was at the end.
Right. So the standard CD, the 89 CD, it just threw it on at the end as well.
Right. So you got the 89 CD right there. You also got the two-disc Japanese version as well, right?
I do. This is the
one. Let's talk about that for a minute.
This one's pretty, because the words are not in the same. The words are in yellow for the title.
Right.
Flowers in the Dirt. Whereas in here, they're just every other, they're just gray, right? But in the nice yellow font for Flowers in the Dirt. The side spine is obviously with the Japanese writing and Flowers in the Dirt there. And then an Obi strip on the side and on the back, all in the writing there. And the second disc really is the gem, really, because you've got the – so track one is a pre-recorded message to Japan saying, which is like 30 seconds long. Studio version of The Long and Winding Road, Loveliest Thing, another version of Rough Ride, a 7-inch mix of Ue Esa Sole, Mama's Little Girl, Same Time Next Year, Party Party, and P.S. Love Me Do. That
now does that Long and Winding Road have it McCartney Lennon, or does it have it Lennon McCartney?
Let's take a look. Let's take a look in the old book that comes with it. Again, true to form is a Japanese edition. They come in with that all the extra stuff in there. Let's take a look. Let's see if they. Let's see. Did they put the lyrics? Okay, so the lyrics for those songs are not in the book proper. But let's take a look at the supplemental materials here and see if they credited. Let's see, disc one. Ooh, wait a minute. Flowers in the Dirt. Here we go. Long and Winding Road is for the bonus tracks, there's no credits.
Okay. Because, no credits. You know, because I'm going to show, you know, I got the Figure of Eight CD single here. Okay. And they have... And it has The Long and Winding Road on here, and it is credited.
I'm wrong. I did not look at this. Long and Winding Road, McCartney Lennon. It says.
Yes. Same here. McCartney Lennon. Yes.
It does say McCartney Lennon.
Right.
Wow.
So that must. So that was obviously the version that they did that you could have seen on the. What was it called again? The video, right? Didn't they do it on the VHS tape? What was that called?
What, the Get Back? Wasn't there
Yeah, wasn't there that came with the didn't they record it during the sessions of Flowers in the Dirt?
Studio recording.
Yes.
Yes, that's what this is.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, they just recorded it. Yes.
Right. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's this version on the Japanese one. Odeon label, white disc, clear disc. Got lucky and grabbed this a couple of years ago. Again, you don't see this one too often.
No.
The Japanese Flowers.
So what else is on there then, bonus wise?
Loveliest Thing, Rough Ride. It doesn't specify if it's a different version, but it's the track runs 4:55.
Okay.
Which is a little bit longer. 4:53, which is a little longer than the standard one on the album. A 7-inch mix of Ue Esa Sole, Mama's Little Girl, Same Time Next Year, Party Party, and P.S. Love Me Do. Now, this was, you could get, I guess this was the only way, I guess you could get Same Time Next Year on CD at the time. Where else could you get Same Time Next Year on disc?
On disc, it was By Brave Face. No, I'm sorry, Put It There single. The Put It There single you got.
Oh, the Put It There single, which you have.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
So you got some singles there too. Let's see some singles from the album.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously, again, you know, you're doing cassettes, you're doing CD singles, you're doing 7-inch singles, you're doing 12-inch singles. You know, so it's all over the place. You know, and then first one I did. Now I did have the 45 of My Brave Face, and you know, so, but here's the cassette. So the cassette singles, you got, you know, My Brave Face, you got this one,
and that's, you've got
Figure of Eight.
Right.
You got Figure of Eight, you got Ule Esa Sole right there, and which had three different versions on here because one's not enough, and then you've got Put It There. Now this was only two tracks on for the cassette, because you got to put it there, and then on the B side you got Mama's Little Girl, so you didn't get Same Time Next Year here.
Now you got it on the CD single.
Right. So now with the CD singles, again, you know, you got My Brave Face, but then it's backed with
on that.
Well, 2 is Flying to My Home. Then I'm going to be a Wheel Someday and Ain't That a Shame. Okay. So then you got CD single, stuff. This one.
Okay.
Yeah. So then you got this one, I Want to Cry, The First Stone, I'm in Love Again. Okay. Right there. And then you got Put It There, which again has Mama's Little Girl, same time next year.
There you
okay.
go.
Okay. And then you got Figure of Eight. Okay,
now that,
which
that
has
is that a cardboard single, Tom?
Yes, this is a cardboard. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that yeah, so this one has it. Right. So this one has Figure of Eight, The Long and Winding Road, and The Loveliest Thing. Now I showed this on the volume, you know, the newest episode of Things We Bought Today, where it has this this side is empty. And it's for the 3-inch CD single,
which is right here. The little,
yes.
Which That's actually, the 3-inch single. If people out there, especially maybe for our younger viewers and fans, don't realize this. I learned this a couple of years ago. You can actually play those in a traditional CD player.
CD player, they correct. Work. There's a little hole in the middle.
I didn't learn that until I got my Japanese off the ground when it came with a little. It came with a little 3-inch CD.
Yes.
I remember saying, is this going to, is the CD player going to eat this little 3-inch CD? It didn't. It sits very nicely in the tray, and it plays.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually, it legitimately, you know, hear about it. Talk about, like, a format that was, like, really, like, one and done. How many of, like, the little, were these really made? I mean.
Yeah, not a lot. Not a lot. They did do some Beatles stuff. Didn't they do the Beatles singles on 3-inch discs, too?
The singles, but obviously that was it.
Yeah.
I mean, just it's going to be just like basically like a CD single, but like in a mini disc way. Yeah. No, you haven't. Now that looks like you haven't opened it yet, though, Tom. Have you?
No, I got it sealed, and I'm going to keep it sealed.
Okay.
All right.
That's pretty cool, though. I mean, it is pretty interesting to put a mini disc into the CD player and how it works.
Right. Exactly. So obviously, you know, we got the, you know, we know the 7 inches. We got the My Brave Face.
My Brave Face.
Now there were two different this ones. So this was like almost like a deluxe. This one where you can open up and there was postcards of each member of the band at the time in there, and then you just had the regular standalone. This one, okay.
That's a UK, obviously. Yeah.
This is the UK. Yes. Okay. Then you got Put It There, and then you've got Figure Eight. Now, I do want to point out there is a one-track CD single, Oula Soleil, as well. I just don't have that yet.
So many. See what we're talking about, folks? There's so many singles associated with this one record.
Right.
One record that has a ton of releases. It's
right.
You know, and we don't even have – Tom's got just about all of it. I have a few things. I mean – Not nearly the amount of what Tom has. I mean, in terms of just collecting the singles, the CD singles, the cassette singles, the 7 inches,
and then
the
12 inches were still in its heyday then. So then you got the My Brave Face. You've got this one again.
Yeah.
Okay. Then you've got a second this one. So there was two this ones.
There
okay.
was two of them. Yep.
Yep. Different B-sides. One's got I'm in Love Again. The other one's got Good Sign. Actually, this one, that has this one, The First Stone, I Want to Cry, and I'm in Love Again. Okay. And then this one will have this one, The First Stone, and then on the B side, it's Good Sign. Okay. So they're all different.
Yeah.
Then they had to go all kinds of stir crazy with the Figure of Eight. Okay.
Oh God.
So,
yeah.
One, so you got this one with
the etching disc.
You know, yeah. This one has the etching on the back, correct? Then you've got, you know, this one which matches the CD single.
Right.
Okay. All right. And then you've got a third one, right here. Right now, this one has the B side is this one, which is a Club a Lovejoys mix.
A Lovejoys mix. Ah, yes.
Yes. All right. Then you have a Put It There.
Put It There 12
which has,
inch.
Yep, which now that one here is just the regular one. This one has the art print inside of it, which is just pretty much the cover.
Well,
okay.
I have two.
You've got that as well. Okay, there you go.
So you get the artwork and the 12 inch in there as well. Thank you, Shiv Mattinger, for that.
Yeah, right. And
there
you go with
Sealed.
Right. Sealed. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. They'll stay sealed.
Good.
Yeah. So after 89, and then, you know, what they did, they did the 93 Paul McCartney collection, right?
Right. Which is not at my fingertips at the moment, but yep. Yeah. There you go.
Right there.
Got it now. Bonus tracks.
Now,
go.
Yes. Now, I usually discard, once I got the latest edition, I usually discard the earlier one. Yeah. But I kept this one because of the bonus tracks, because we got the download only on the archives. So I kept this one because it's got Back on My Feet, Flying to My Home, and Loveliest Thing. You know, three of the better songs that didn't get put on the album. But, you know, one was the B-side to Once Upon a Long Ago. Then you got Flying to My Home and Loveliest Thing. So, right. Which those are two songs I absolutely adore. So, again, you know, and these were UK only, I believe, or Europe and the UK, I think.
Europe. They were actually, I think they were manufactured out of Holland, right. I believe.
Right. Now, there was... Now I've shown this birthday box before, okay, and I've talked about how this is not an actual licensed MPL product. However, the items inside are. So they did do that Flowers in the Dirt box. You know, where the whole box like it's
the cover. Yes.
Right. Right. So that is the same thing as this. It wasn't an official MPL release. So I believe I forgot how many CDs were in there. They weren't all in order or whatever. There wasn't, like, you know, McCartney all the way up to Flaming Pie. It was a select discography, you know. So if you see that, I mean, that's a nice collector's item too. However, it just
wasn't an official release. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yes. So what else you got? Because then we got the tour pack, right?
The tour pack.
World tour pack.
Yeah. One of the jewels of my collection, really, from McCartney, grabbing this, the World Tour Pack, the vinyl edition. Tom's got a CD edition there, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. So it came out on vinyl. This is the vinyl edition, and Tom got the CD. And, you know, so, I mean, everything, they threw everything. Now, this is numbered, too. I think, Tom, is yours numbered as well?
Yep,
my number is 2492.
Okay, mine is 26930. So, yeah. 26,930.
Right.
And I'm curious.
I mean, just designed so coolly. Flowers in the Dirt etched out on the cover there. And you can slide it right out of the album to get that. And I'm and again, this is an American. No, this is a British pressing of the LP. This is not a Capitol. So another British pressing, Parlophone label, and again a slew of supplemental stuff here: a 7-inch single, a poster, a family tree, the bumper sticker, which I want to put in my car so bad, but I'm not gonna.
Yeah, don't do that. So, see, there it goes.
Dropped.
Yep, there it goes. So, here you got the 3-inch. Party single, and then obviously the Flowers in the Dirt right there, which again, this is the Parlophone release. Now,
here's the supplemental. It came with some postcards too. Okay.
Yes.
So you got some
nice
postcards there. Paul and Linda.
Right.
Is that Wicks, Chris?
Yep.
Classic shots here. All included, Linda. Okay. And Wicks. And then a world tour itinerary also included. In the
there you go.
And here it is, the bumper sticker we all want to have on our cars.
Yes.
Right? Which I think is actually a t-shirt, too, you could buy from his store. They They have this. Party, the 7-inch is on the vinyl one. Etching on the other side as well.
Yes. I like that.
For Party. And then and then two posters. It looks like one is so the guy. That
What's
does
the family this, tree? What's
so
the
this
family
is,
tree?
This is done by a great guy who his name is Pete Frame. He has done this for every big band, mostly British. The guy's name is Pete Frame. This is huge, and it says. Hold on, just hold it down here. Paul McCartney's band, and he traces the origins of everybody in the band. So he's tracing where, like, Chris Whitten got his start, Robbie got his start,
right?
Paul got his start,
right.
all the bands that those guys were in, he did it and wrote it on this whole poster, which is just an incredible work. You can Google them. I mean, he's done them for Yes, The Who, you know, and really, really exhaustive. Like, you know, obviously, where did Hamish come from, and all the bands that he played, all the bands that these guys were in. Obviously, Robbie McIntosh was in The Pretenders, so
right,
you know, that's they're covered in here very well. So that's Pete Frame, that's his handiwork. The other poster is I showed it in the World Tour book, but here is a nicer, fuller poster of it, which I've never really hung up before. Don't plan on it. It's just that 89 band poster. Here we go. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Which is just really so cool to put in there. Really just, I mean, honestly, the return of Paul and just, you know, embracing his Beatle past for the first time.
It was an event, you know, so.
You know, so, I mean, a great album. Returning to the stage, so backing a good album. And he says this. If you ever watched, again, the Put It There documentary, one of the questions the lady asks him is that he hates going out, you know, slogging an album that he doesn't like, you know. So Flowers in the Dirt was an album that he enjoyed. And obviously, when you listen to Tripping the Life Fantastic, it comes across in those songs. When you listen to My Brave Face and this one and Figure of Eight Live is just takes on a whole different kind of feeling than the studio version. The live version is just kicks.
Yeah. So you also said you got the UK vinyl as well, separately or just in the tour pack?
So it's just in the tour pack. I have a separate version of. I have another UK pressing as well, and I have a Capitol as well, but it's in the other room. So the tour pack is the Parlophone, and I had another UK pressing that I got when I was over there as well. And of course, you know, we have the, and then really we're left with the archives, you know, the archive editions. Yeah. You know, but I have to say you're not as big a fan of what do you not enjoy here? Do you like the demos on this too or the band stuff better? I forget. Which one do you like?
Oh, the demos on this too for the archive.
You enjoy the demos.
Yes. That's where it's at. That is the good stuff right there.
Right.
10 times better than what they did with Tommy's Coming Home on the third disc, on the band disc, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I really enjoy those demos better. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let's do a skip or play on this. We haven't done that in a while.
We haven't. Okay. Go. Rapid fire. So, Flowers in the Dirt style.
Yes, My Brave Face.
Play it.
Play it. Rough Ride.
Play it.
Play it. Play it. You Want Her Too. Play it.
Skip.
Oh, okay. Distractions. Play it.
Play it.
We Got Married. Play it.
Play it.
Put It There. Play it.
Play it.
Now, we'll just delay right now. I skipped this one.
You're going to skip away?
Yeah, I skip away.
Well,
yeah.
Why are you listing it now?
Because I'm looking at the cassette.
If we're gonna go it on that order, yes, yeah, skip.
Yeah, yeah. Figure of Eight, play
it.
This one, play it.
Play it.
Don't Be Careless, Love. I play.
Skip.
That Day Is Done. I skip.
Play.
How Many People, I skip.
Play.
Motor of Love, I skip.
Play. Play. Play, play, play. Those
if I'm looking at the CD, because, you know, Luis Le Soleil is the last one on the CD, then you figure then the last four songs, I'm stopping at you know, this Don't Be Careless, Love, you know, and the rest, it's just done.
I can't believe you don't like That Day Is Done. That is like the centerpiece of the whole album. It's like the unofficial like theme of the album.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'll play it sometimes, you know, but it's just not a not something I cherish as much as the rest of the album.
Understandable.
Yeah. So you got the box set right there, I take it.
They did the kind of very interesting what they did with the cover here. They kind of mirrored like the Venus of Mars thing where they didn't put the title on it at all.
Yes.
They just kind of let the artworks kind of stick to itself.
Which I thought was good. I thought that was great. Because, you know, on some of those past archive editions, they just got like a little box somewhere on, you know, on the box, and it's the album cover.
Yeah.
You know, but I like the fact that the whole box is the album cover.
Yeah, the whole box. I mean, I forgot you got a nice book in here, just kind of right. Just going over all the artwork and the shots that the artist Brian Clark did and put together for the album. Did you get superdeluxeedition.com did a supplemental book, I think, for this. Did you get that?
David got it. Made me a copy. He made me copies of it, and I've got it somewhere here.
I really wish I would have gotten a chance to get that, because it was more stuff to do with the producers, right? It was with the producers.
Right, yes.
Trevor
yes.
Horn, yeah. Steve Lipson, and all those yeah. guys. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, at this point, I mean, you're looking at this was the most, I mean, this had the more producers on it than any other album to this point. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sure. You know, because Paul alone produced a couple tracks on it. I know he produced blah, 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 Put It There. I think he produced Distractions by himself. You know, and I think he produced this one by himself as well. Yeah. So, you know, there was a lot going on here. And then we got Married, which was the David Foster co-produced with McCartney. You know, so yeah, I mean, ton of producers on here. Elvis Costello co-produced a couple as well. So,
I mean, just a whole book on the videos for this one. I mean, incredible.
Right. Right.
You know, so just a really, you know, an album that. Is very easy to return to if you're a hardcore McCartney fan, and I think most of us in this universe feel that way.
Right.
Again, I love I just love it's just classy. The whole package about it, the purple, the theme here, the book. I mean, everything about it. The photographs. I mean, it's just it is just when a Beatle does things right, this is how it's supposed to look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everything about it. And, it was affordable. I mean, I forget what this box went for when it came out. Maybe 130, 140, maybe
yeah.
something like that.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at it though, when you look at the amount of space you have on a CD, you know, this,
well,
you know,
two or three,
you know, in that sense, you're not really getting your bang for your buck, and that's where the bonus stuff that was download only should have been put on a CD.
Right, where you're looking
you know,
at CD 2, 9 tracks,
right.
CD 3, 9 right. tracks. That's
see,
where
that,
you're like,
yeah, that should have been on one disc.
And then again, they put it on the insert with the box set. You know,
right.
13 tracks were available to download only. That is a yeah. major, major, major mistake. I mean,
correct
to be only to have. I mean, and he did it again with some Flaming Pie stuff. He's done it subsequently. He has done it since then. He's done it with some Wing stuff. But to have these songs only available download only was a pity. You know, and then the cassette demos as well. Shallow Grave, I don't
yeah.
want to confess, Mistress.
Yeah, and that was the Record Store Day stuff too that I've got over there. I should have grabbed that, but yeah, that was the Record Store Day stuff that came out same year as the box set, I believe.
Hard to believe that this box set is going to be 5 years old. 2017 that this came out.
Is that crazy?
5 years ago. I mean, it's so. But it got the treatment it deserved. Clearly, I think it was warranted. It's just it's a great album, start to finish. My Brave Face. I watched the video again the other day for like, I don't know. I must have watched it two or three times in one day. And it's the gift that keeps on giving. It just does not
right.
disappoint you. It brings a smile to your face. You know, the black and white. He's got the long hair going. Take me to that place. You're like
right.
I'm listening to a freaking Beatles song. I am listening to a Beatles song. That's what I think of when I hear that song.
Oh, same here, 100%. I think that is a Beatle worthy song, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah, and again, it's the album is not without its flaws. Clearly, Tom has his favorites and his ones he doesn't like, and I'm not in love with every single track either. But I think it's safe to say that this album is in my top 10 McCartney album collection. You know, favorites. Yours?
Yeah. Top 15 for sure.
15, okay.
Top 12 maybe. You know, that's one of the things we're going to do once we, you know, get past that 1,000 subscriber goal. We're going to do probably a two-part episode where we do our least favorite to favorite McCartney albums.
That'll be very fun and interesting to watch. Yeah. I think a good thing to do, and I've said this to people before, if you want to introduce a novice fan or a newer fan to what Paul McCartney was doing in the 1980s, you're going to give them two records. You're going to give them Flowers in the Dirt,
Tug of War,
and give them Tug of War. And that's it.
Absolutely.
You want to see Paul McCartney at his apex of his songwriting ability, production, singing, playing, everything. You give them those two records, and they should be, you know, duly impressed.
Right. Then you give them Pipes of Peace, maybe. Then you give them Press to Play, maybe. And then you give them McCartney too.
I think that those albums have enough commercial appeal to bring in a casual fan, and they did well, and they're perfectly produced records from the concept to the writing, to the production, to the playing, to the singing, to the everything about it, the artwork. These are masterful works of art.
Right.
Albums that have brought us joy for decades and will for many more.
I agree 100%, partner. Absolutely. If there's any version that we missed, please let us know. Write it in the comments, and we'll make sure that we get it in our collection if we don't have it already.
I want that red flower. I want that flowers box, damn it.
Yeah.
I want that. It's sitting in my Discogs want list for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if I'll pick that up. But, I mean, let's say if I do see it, and if it's there, if it's presented to me, and if I think the price is right, I'll pick it up. Absolutely. Why not? You know?
I think it could go on that. It can go on that shelf next to the Funko Pop dolls.
Exactly.
You're out of space on the.
No, no, I got more space over here. I've got more. I'll fit it somewhere.
yeah. Maybe. Well, I know the closet door is back there, but you can put it back there behind the 2X calendar.
Put it back in the closet. Oh, actually, that's where I got no space, in the closet. Yeah. Anyways, we just got done talking with Ted Montgomery about his latest second press printing of Beatles Through Headphones. So be sure you check that out. We went live with them the other day, and you know, we had a good time chatting them with this. We haven't gone live with them yet because. We're doing this.
I'm saying, wait a minute. We're not doing that till Wednesday.
But this will be posted after.
I know. So yes, we spoke with Ted.
Yes.
3 days ago.
Right. Yes. He told us all about.
Oh, did you have it? You had the ready there? I didn't know if you saw it. I'm sure you do. I never opened it. The Best Buy, My Brave Face. You got that?
Yes, I did get that. Yeah, once you bought when you bought the box set or something, when you bought the CD, yes. When I got that at Best Buy, that right there, it had the code. You went to the website, you typed in the code, you put all your information in, and then they sent it to you.
Yes,
yes,
I remember that now.
That's right.
It took forever in a day, but it came.
Yeah, yeah. I think I got mine a month later.
Yeah, I do recall that, but
however, was that the color? Was that colored?
It's sealed, so I don't know.
Take
it.
Oh,
it's sealed.
Let me see if
I never opened mine, Tom, because I've got the original one still sitting here. Just looking at it in the light, it looks purple.
Yeah, I think it was purple and yellow, if I remember correctly.
It's looking purplish in this cellophane here.
Yeah, I think I got it. Yeah, here we go. And I did open mine, and it's purple and yellow.
Oh, it is. Oh, it's like a swirl. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a purple capital label. Okay. Yeah, very nice.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Always one of the cooler covers as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I've been storing it in my Run Devil Run
45.
Thank you, Mike at the InGroove, for having this.
Somebody at Beetlefest, please have that in a few weeks, please. And I saw, yes. I saw it 20 years ago, and I should have bought it, and I didn't. Yeah. Kicking myself when it was affordable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but again, by the time this posts, a couple more weeks, and Tom will be East Coast bound, and we'll be at the fest.
Eastbound and down. That's right.
Eastbound and down. So if hopefully some of our East Coast listeners and fans will be there and love to kind of pop into you and have a chat if we happen to see you walking around the fest.
Absolutely. Yeah. So please say hi. What else? I'll be doing a panel with Talk More Talk. We still don't know actually, you know, what day that's going to be yet. So that's all I can say at the moment. And hopefully we'll get that scheduled soon. I want to thank Ken Michaels for having us on his YouTube channel, Ken Michaels Radio. We were on for 2 weeks. We did two shows 2 weeks in a row. We did the first show was on what we thought was his greatest peak.
Peak period of his career, Beatles, or solo or whatever. Yep. We did that with the Ken and Tom, and then we came back a week later. And we did a show with the three of us and Dylan Seavey, and we picked our top couple of our favorite unreleased, as of this date, unreleased McCartney songs. And Ken is just he's such an icon in the industry and somebody who I grew up listening to in my neck of the woods. And to do shows with him now and talk Beatles with somebody, and I know is just incredible because he's the godfather of all this, really. So it. It's an honor to talk Beatles with him, and he's interviewed so many people, and just to work with him and do shows with him is an honor. So thank you very much, Ken.
Yeah, thank you. You know, and looking back on it now, just the other day, I was thinking of a song, and it would have been perfect for that show, and none of us said it. And I would really love to see this song see the light of day one day, officially, and it's Blackpool.
Yeah,
you know,
get it in the backyard.
Yeah, it's part of the it's on one of the menus for the McCartney years box set. Yes, yeah.
Blackpool 38.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, I tell you.
Yeah. So, what else you got going on before we get out of here, buddy?
Not much, man. Just just enjoying and getting ready for more concert seasons coming up. Gonna see Steve Hackett, Beetlefest weekend actually of Genesis fame, and I'm gonna go see The Who in May, and then I'm gonna go see Paul once, maybe twice in June. We're waiting
maybe
to see
twice.
If that second date is confirmed on his 80th birthday. We'll have to wait and see.
That'll be pretty amazing. That'll be pretty amazing.
Yep, and when that comes, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was saying I might have to skip the wedding I'm going to in June for that. But the wife will kill me.
On his 80th birthday, you better be on a plane east. That's all I'm saying. The wedding. Sorry, here's your card. I'll mail it to you.
Right.
You know, whatever. It's a wedding. It's a wedding. How often do you see the people? You actually see the bride and groom. They're going to come over to your table. They're going to say hello, and then they're going to move on, and you're not going to see them the rest of the night. Versus Paul McCartney's 80th birthday at a concert.
Right.
To me, that's a no. That's a no brainer. Sorry.
Right. Well, it's a couple. Yeah, it's a couple weeks. It's early June, but you know, it's funny because it's my cousin and his dad is my uncle who, you know, is my Uncle Sal, who's kind of responsible for me being
the
but if there's anybody that's going to understand, it would be him.
He will. he's the inspiration. Oh,
right.
I love you. Yes. Sorry, but I got to go. And he'll say, Tom, go. Enjoy. Have one for me.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely. So thank you, everybody. You know, you can reach us at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Two Legs Podcast. Find us on our YouTube channel, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney Podcast, where we're we're really getting close to the 1K subscriber goal, so please subscribe. Andy, go ahead.
And coming soon, Two Legs will be on TikTok.
Yeah. How are we?
Yes, we will.
I take it that's something we'll do at the fest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes. Fair enough. Two legs, and the solo Paul McCartney podcast is on TikTok. We just don't have any content yet, but we are.
We just don't have anything on it. We'll have to get something on there when I get there for the fest.
That's the plan, Dan.
I love it. I love it. Email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. We have the website, twolegspodcast.com. Andy, you got us on every other audio format out there, whether it's iTunes, iHeartRadio, Podbean, Spotify, Amazon, Pandora. If you listen to it, we're there. So check us out on all those audio formats. And then, again, please check us out on our YouTube channel. And subscribe. Andy, it's always good hanging out with you, my friend.
Likewise, my friend. Go listen to some Flowers in the Dirt.
Listen to some Flowers in the Dirt, absolutely. Everybody out there, you know the drill. Have a great day. And always listen to Paul McCartney.
Always.
Always.
Listening to Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.